everybody, and welcome to the podcast, which is just about Just Riding About in the Rain. Yes, it's the Just Riding About in the Rain podcast. My name's Bob. The rain is banging off the window as I speak, and this is Enzo. Enzo, how are you doing?
Hello, Bob. Yeah, mate, same here.
It's absolutely shocking. It's absolutely awful.
It's as if, you know, these are the last days of rain, and it's chucking literally every bit it's got left at us. Well, mate, I mean, I went out Sunday. We had to cut it short. We literally come out of the cafe stop, and it was, you know, monsoon. And we said, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
So we sort of chopped a good sort of 7-8 miles off the route back home and just said, yeah, let's get us home soaked. And I'll tell you what, mate, was really lucky. So I could put the bike in the garage. Mm. It was all filthy and dirty. I wasn't going to go and wash it. Like I said, it was the weather was terrible. But yeah. I went in the next day and my rear tyre was dead flat. So I picked up some sort of puncture, but it hadn't gone down quick enough to sort of leave me by the roadside. I mean, I couldn't have made that. Yeah. Would have been the worst thing in the world, having to change a tyre when it's literally lashing it down. So I kind of, you know, small mercies and all that, mate, small mercies.
Yeah. It is that sort of thing. It's like, I don't know if there's that much rain left. I think we've had it all. I mean, one of the things that I've got kind of, I sort of written down to talk about here, but it was just my kind of how I enjoy riding in the autumn. And now, like, the clocks have changed, and, you know, like 90% of my riding is the commute anyway, and I kind of quite like that, when you're sort of like kind of riding home and there's that kind of chill in the air and it's dark and you've got your lights on. And my particular kind of, the one route I go home sort of really kind of a lot of it is off-road, and it's just me and occasionally a sheep, just, you know, in complete and total darkness. And I've been kind of steering off the bike because it's just been blooming sub aqua over here over the past few days, and we've just got over one storm and we've got another one coming before the end of the week.
Terrible, mate, terrible. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to mention this, and I know we spoke about it just briefly before we recorded, and I have mentioned it in the past, but mate, my life was saved on Sunday, and I know this sounds a little bit dramatic, but honestly it wasn't, by my waterproof socks. I've got these Sealskins waterproof socks. I think they cost about, I mean, they're not cheap for a pair of socks. They're about 25, 28, maybe 30 quid for a pair. However, when you think of, you know, I know some people who've got like waterproof, like fully waterproof kind of shoes, boots, because they come up quite high.
Yeah.
And mate, they're about 200 odd pounds for a pair of those. And you can only wear them really when it rains. You know, they're not a summer boot. You wouldn't go out with them, you know, when the sun's shining. So that's a lot of money. But these
and they're big, heavy, clumpy things as well. They're like 1970s rugby boots. They're not
especially
light.
Especially, you know, for the weight weenies out there, everyone trying to shave off a few grams. Blimey, that's the wrong way about going about it. But
not gonna lie.
But mate, the socks were so my shoes. It's a weird sensation. I kind of. As you're riding, because, you know, the shoes are dripping, soaking wet. They're absolutely wet through. And your feet are kind of, they feel cold. The socks won't keep your feet warm because ultimately they're just socks. They're not going to keep your feet warm. So in my head, I'm saying, you know, are they wet or are they dry? Are they wet or are my feet dry? because I just couldn't quite work it out. But the fact that there was no squelch, I was kind of, I think these are all right. I think they're all right. And when I got home, mate, the shoes, like I said, were absolutely sopping wet. You take the socks off, and on the outside, they're absolutely sopping wet. But, mate, on the inside, your feet are absolutely bone dry. And what I do is I have another pair of socks inside just to kind of keep the warmth in, just so that the feet are not absolutely sort of super cold. But they were absolutely bone dry, mate. I can't vouch for these funny socks enough. They're quite weird when you put them on, because you can tell there's some sort of rubber material or something inside the kind of, the sock material that keeps them waterproof. But once you've got them on your bike shoes, it's no problem at all. You don't really, you know, they don't feel any different to any other pair of socks. But for 25 quid, mate, it's one of the, I don't know, this is a bit grandiose, but it's probably one of the best things I've got that's cycle related.
I can also vouch for those as well, because I too have a pair, but I've not as yet. I've still got to haven't worn them on the bike yet. I've been wearing mine on dog walks underneath my boots, which let in water. So similar sort of thing. And yeah, I know just what you mean. Slightly weird sensation because it's almost like a I don't know, marigold glove esque for your foot, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah. Absolutely works.
But they work.
And yeah, and that's kind of what we need at the minute, because it is, if I can quote a line from a slightly bigger podcast than ours, it's very definitely cyclocross weather. because it started again, and the sort of warm up of, you know, kind of cycle racing that's, you know, which if you know, kind of 3 week grand tours, all the rest of it, which is okay. If there's no cyclocross on, you can watch that and that's all right. But now proper cycle racing is back on the telly again, and my weekends are properly catered for. Well, before the storm came in, and then the storm before that storm came in, we have both been doing a little bit of riding. But I've been doing a little bit of two up, but you've been doing a little bit of riding a bit further away.
Yep, mate. Like we kind of spoke about in the last episode, I was kind of preparing to ride abroad. You know, France.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's abroad. It's not that far away, but it's... I think
France
it's
is abroad.
Abroad, yeah. And we did it. We went over the water, and it was brilliant. It was fantastic. The roads were really good. That was kind of one plus. It wasn't the kind of pothole city that we've got around here. So that was good. The roads were good. The weather was good. We got really lucky with the weather. It's a nice sunny day. The route was fantastic. It took in one of the climbs that's on that's part of the Tour de France, or on one of the series of the Tour mm-hmm. de France. So it was pretty tough, but you know, we're not scared of a couple of hills here and there, so that was good. the only kind of thing that really made it a little bit hairy and a little bit difficult was just the getting there and getting back. I can't believe
what sort of time did you kind of start out in the morning?
I left here about 5 in the morning. Now
That is early.
I could literally talk about this all podcast long, but I'm going to try and do it succinctly. But here we go. I'll do my best. So,
an hour and a half. We've got 109 minutes of record time
that
left.
That might even be pushing it. But here goes. So, I mean, basically, mate, it's a pain to take your bike abroad. Is going to be the kind of the crux of this. So for us to use the Channel Tunnel to get ourselves from England to France. They've got a funny little setup. You can't just ride your bike onto the Channel Tunnel. That doesn't happen. What happens is the people that run the Channel Tunnel, you know, these multi-million pound businesses, they send a bloke in a van who picks you up at Premier Inn. Now, his van can only take 6 people. So you've got a one-shot chance at getting yourself over the water in a bloke. I mean, it's a hire van. I mean, this isn't kind of some sort of plush Channel Tunnel special van.
Right,
it's a bloke in a white van.
It's a van.
He's got some space in the back, so he tied our bikes in the back using some string. That's it. There's nothing else.
So a stranger turns up with a van and tells you all to get in. He's got some string in the van, and he ties up your bikes with string in the back of the van.
That's exactly it, mate. In a car park of a Premier Inn.
Okay.
So, I don't know his name. His van hasn't even got a sign on it to say it's, you know, part of the Channel Tunnel service. It's just a bloke in a van. He had his wife with him because she had nothing to do of a Saturday. He was sitting in the passenger seat. We were in the kind of seats in the back. Now, hang on, it gets better.
It's thermos and some sandwiches.
So this is what he does. He drives us to the train. But he comes on the train with us. He doesn't leave us there. He drives us onto the train.
Okay.
So we're sitting in his van on the Channel Tunnel train.
So there's nowhere on the train to put your bikes?
No.
Your bikes have to go in a van to go on the train.
If we were doing this like on our own, we'd have to put our bike in the back of the car or on a car rack and drive across to France, then leave our car somewhere and then do your bike ride. So if you wanted to kind of do the right thing and travel to France just on your bike without the need of a car, you can't do it. You'd have to use, you know, you've used somebody else's car, basically. It's madness. Wow. Now, it gets better, mate. It gets better. So this service that they offer, it's just one man in one van. So there's only one trip. There's only one time when you can go. It's not like this is a service that runs every kind of hour or every half an hour like the trains do. He only does it once. So he took us to France in his van. He then drives off the train like you would do if he was going in your car, and he takes us to the City Europe car park, and City Europe being kind of the kind of local kind of big shopping complex, I think, that's just off the kind of, you know, where you get off the train, off the motorway. Anyway, so he dumps us on this car park. We get our bikes off the van.
Wave him off.
And
And
that's it. And he goes home. You're kind of probably thinking, well, how'd you get back?
Well, yes, that had crossed my mind. I was wondering
the same thing. We have to get a ferry back because there is no man, there's no French fella doing the same thing. Let's say that. There's no French chap who will pick you up in his van, take you back to England, and then take himself back to France. It doesn't happen. It's a one-way sort of offer only.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
But it gets better, mate. I know you're gonna find this hard to believe. It gets better. Now listen here. So we did our ride in France, which was fantastic. I'm trying to do this as quickly as I can, mate. I don't want to bore the listener.
Okay.
We did our ride in France, which is absolutely superb.
What? 105 minutes. We've got plenty of time. Carry on going.
So the ride in France was great. The weather was great. The route was great. But we had to get back at a certain time for the ferry. Back from
the ferry. I know all about ferries. Trust me.
The ferry was pretty crucial because I think the ferry was booked for sort of, I don't know, 5:30 or 6:00 in the sort of in the evening. Yeah, for the sort of the end of the day.
Okay.
If we'd have missed that, the next one that we could have got would have been at 11:15. So there's a 3.5 hour wait if we'd have missed that.
And
that means
that's a bit of sitting about.
Very, you know, if the boat's at sort of 10:45, by the time you get across and then you get to sort of go over. Anyway, luckily that didn't happen, but my goodness, it nearly did. We were running out of time. We were checking the kind of the Garmins and the GPSs as to what time we were going to arrive at Calais to get the boat back. And mate, the GPS was telling us, you're not going to make it, guys. We're going to miss the check-in. Now, kind of, as we were riding, myself and Giancarlo, my son, who came along, we said, right, we're going to go. So we head down. We literally time trialed the last sort of, I don't know, 5 or 6, whatever it was, 10 miles. Literally.
You were given breakaway duty. Just get up the road.
And tell them to hang on. mate, and we absolutely belted it, and bless the little lad. I mean, he's only 16, but goodness me, he can motor. So he was putting me to shame on the hills, on the flats. Anyway, we get to Calais, we get to the port, and we go to the check-in, and luckily I've got a little bit of French behind me. So I was speaking to the kind of check-in bloke and I was saying, look, mate, we're on bikes, but there's another 4 or 5 of us coming. They might be a bit late. He said, he looked at his watch. Mm-hmm. He actually, bless him, he rung through to kind of the, I don't know if it was the ship's captain or what have you, and he told him the situation.
Okay.
And they kind of radioed back and said, if they don't arrive within the sort of next 5 or 10 minutes, you're going to miss it. And you're going to have to decide whether you get on the boat and go across and wait for them over on the other side, or if you wait for them here. Now, mate, I don't know. As luck would have it, as we're having this conversation, the rest of the team turn up. Obviously, they'd put the old foot down, but everybody was literally at their backsides, mate. We were so tight. Anyway, it gets better, mate. I mean, this is a crazy thing. We made it in time to get on the boat. So there we are. We're thinking, bikes on a boat, a big ferry, riding your bike is being actively encouraged more and more. So we thought, we'd get onto the ferry, and there'd be a section kind of just for bikes where you could kind of put your bike in some sort of safety rack, potentially lock it to this rack thing. So, because obviously ferries move, it's on water. There's a chance that things kind of buck around if it's a bit.
And it's 2023, they'll be geared for things like people traveling by bicycle,
this
right?
Isn't the Middle Ages?
Of course.
But no, you'd be dead wrong. So listen to this. So we ride onto the boat with the cars and the lorries and the coaches. There's no special kind of cycling way into the boat. So yeah, but that's fair enough. We ride on. And then there's a chap with his kind of overalls on, and he kind of points to at the corner of the sort of the back of the boat where all the other cars have kind of parked, but right at the back. And he says, "You put your bikes over there." And all we're seeing is just a metal kind of wall, the inside of the hull of the boat where the cars are parked. And we're thinking,
yeah, similar sort of thing on the Isle of Wight ferry.
So we kind of walk over. Now get this, mate. There's a hook and some string, and I mean some manky old string. And there's only like literally six hooks. So the bloke said, "Oh, you've got to tie your bikes to these hooks and just lean them up against the wall."
And that's
what we had to do. We had to use some pokey bits of string to tie the bikes as kind of tight as we could. And we kind of tie them together just so that you've got a kind of heavier sort of bits of kind of carbon and aluminium, just so that if the boat does move about a bit, there's more chance of them not kind of being flung across the kind of the boat. And I was astounded, mate. I thought, what the heck is this? For a, you know, 2023, everybody trying to stop using cars and that kind of thing, you'd think there'd be something a bit, but it weren't. It was a hook, some old string, and that's it. And we were so lucky that the crossing was quite calm, because if it had been a bit rough, mate, I think we would have come back to bits of bikes as opposed to kind of bikes. So, yeah, to cut that massively long story short, mate, a fantastic trip while we was there. But getting there and getting back was atrocious, absolutely atrocious.
And endurance.
Horrid.
Yeah. Well, I've had a bit of a ride around as well. I mean, in all fairness, or I should say we have had a bit of a ride around, myself and my wife, because we had a bit of a day out. But not quite as far afield. We were able to ride to our little day out because it was the last last day in our Isle of Wight club's time trial season. So not a regular time trial, this one. Instead, it was the hill climb meet. So two runs at the same hill from different directions. Now, you've been over here and you've ridden around before a couple of times. And I don't know if you remember the Black Gang hill. You
Black
might
Gang.
Not.
Yeah.
You do remember Black Gang. Well, we went kind of up sort of two sides of Black Gang Hill. It's pretty much, I mean, if you come over and ride the Randonee route, that is the highest point on the Randonee route. Now, from there's each run is like kind of 1 mile from either side. So first run, 1 mile, 213 feet of elevation. And it's like a long, slow, dragging, attritional climb that just goes up and up and up. About 5.5 minutes if you're us on a tandem. And run two was from the opposite side of that. So 1.1 miles, slightly longer. This time 325 feet of elevation, which just goes up and up. And then it gets a bit steeper and you think that's horrible. And then it plateaus out. You think, oh, that's nice. And then it gets even steeper than it was before. And, you know, essentially kind of, again, like running out of gears, your legs falling off, everything, the full bit. And if you're like us on a tandem, you're looking at about 9 minutes and 20 seconds of going very, very hard up a very steep hill. But the good news is that now for the third year running, we defended our tandem crown. So we came first position in the tandem class. Lovely. Not saying how many that there was in it.
Doesn't matter, mate. You're the ones that come across first. So that's all that matters.
Exactly. Exactly. Only us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we were first in it, and that's what matters. No one's looking that far down the result sheet. It's just as well. There's only one line. Anyway, so we managed to win that out with my pals Patrick and Les as well, who did a phenomenal job. Patrick came third in the over 40 class. Les came second in the over 60 class. But yeah, so we're able to, the three of us there stood on all points of the Brilliant. Podium. Fantastic. So it was what I can only describe as a grand day out. And we didn't have to tie our bikes to down with any bits of string. So that was a plus. What can I say?
Now then, Bob, in our last episode, we did hint, well, I don't think we hinted, we kind of said that we were going to buy a new bike, but they weren't going to be new, they were going to be old. And I was bidding yes. on something, I think it was an Italian bike, I can't quite remember the name of it now, I'd have to go back and listen, but it was kind of vintage, sort of from the 80s. Now, I didn't get that bike in the end.
Okay.
I did get something else, but we'll come on to that. But yes. when I was kind of looking and researching these kind of old bikes, mate, the amount of kind of old bike brands that exist is monumental. I mean, you could probably list sort of now, if you were to say, you know, give me some bike brands, you'd maybe reel off five or six, you know, Cannondale, Giant, you know, Colnard. Yeah, you'd reel off a few, but you'd kind of then start running yeah. out of names. But, mate, I did a bit of research yeah. on kind of old bikes from the sort of, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s. There's literally hundreds and hundreds. Anyway, I thought, you know what? Let's see if we can turn this into some sort of quiz. And I've got a quiz for you, mate. Are you ready to play the quiz?
Absolutely. Absolutely superb. This is what our listeners tune in for. Is the quiz that they it's a what can I say it's a fan
it's a
favorite
staple of our little chats. Now this is what I'm going to call this quiz. It's called
okay
vintage bike brand or foot cream. What
okay.
I'm going to say a brand and you're going to have to okay. kind of use your powers of deduction to see whether okay. you think it's a vintage bike brand or
vintage
it's a type
brand.
Of foot cream.
My type of foot cream.
So, you know,
right.
Sounds simple. Okay. But we'll see.
It does. I like vintage bikes. I've had terrible trouble with my feet. So this could be right up my Strasser.
Excellent. Okay, right. So here we go, mate. Here we go. I'm gonna give you the first brand.
Okay.
Now just so everyone knows, we've got five bikes and five types of foot cream. So we've got 10
okay.
10 questions.
Right.
So
ready
first
to go.
One, here we go. A Thalgo, so spelt Thalgo. So is Thalgo a foot cream or a vintage bike brand?
Thalgo, I have never heard of in either realm. I can't be a bike brand. I'm going to say it's a foot cream. Thalgo.
Well, big tick, mate. Yes, you've nailed it. First one right.
Oh, wow, look at that. There
well
you go.
Done. Okay, so that's
there
one for
go.
One.
I told you I've had trouble with my feet. There we go. Look at that.
There you go. Excellent. Right. Question number two. Here we go.
Okay.
Or brand
yes.
number two. This one is called a Bariel. Now, I'll spell that Bariele. A Bariel or potentially a Bariele. I'm not quite sure. So it could be French, it could be Italian. It could be neither.
Bariel. I'm thinking barrier. I'm thinking it's a barrier cream. I'm going to go foot cream again.
Nailed it. Two for
two. Oh, look at
now
that.
Are you sure you've not used these things?
This is the... All of a sudden, I've found the thing in life that I'm good at.
Here we go.
It's taken a while, but I knew I'd find it in the end.
You found your calling, mate. Here we go. Number three. Now, here we go.
Okay.
This is Alcyon. So Alcyon. Alcyon. Is that a type of bike, or is it a softening foot cream?
Alcyon. Hang on a minute. He said softening foot cream. You could have given the game away. No, Alcyon sounds... I'm going to say bike for that one. Surely that's bike.
Right, mate. It's a bike from France.
Oh,
it's
there it is. Alcyon. I don't know. I was thinking Halcyon, but there we go. There we are.
So, Bob, you're three for three. This is... Unheard of.
It's unheard
okay.
of. Absolutely.
Okay,
brilliant.
Here we go. Right. Serota. Serotta. Or Serota. Serota
or Serota.
Is that a bike brand? Or is that a foot cream?
Serota. Again, I've never heard of it. Always, I've never heard of any of them. Well, only one of them's a white brand, in all fairness. I suppose that's why. I'm going to say that's a foot cream. I'm going to go, I'm trespassing back in the world of foot cream again.
No, it's an American vintage white brand. A Serrata. 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 It's an American white brand. Okay, mate, so that's your first failure. We're
looking them up this evening.
That's not, you know, that's not so bad. You're still doing good. Here we go. Gewohl. So
Gewohl.
So it's spelled G-E-W-O-H-L. Gewohl. Now, is that a foot balm or is that a vintage bike?
No, have absolutely no clue. I am going to say that that is a bike brand.
Oh, so close. But no, that...
my God, the tide is turning. It's 3-2. Gewohl, oh, my goodness.
Type of foot cream. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that one I would have given that as a bike if I hadn't have kind of researched it. It sounds like a Austrian bike brand, a Gewohl. I've just jumped on Gewohl and off to
Gewohl. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
Okay.
Here we go. Next one, Skip. Next one.
Right. Next one. Next
what
one.
What about a Gimson? G-I-M-S-O-N. Or, yeah, Gimson or Gimson, depending on how you, where it's from. But G-I-M-S-O-N, Gimson.
Okay. Never heard of it. I don't know. I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to say that that is a bike
brand. That is a bike brand. It's a Spanish vintage bike brand. He's back in the game.
Brilliant. I will have to look this one up as well. Right. Brilliant.
Right. So that puts you at what? 3-4-2. 4-2 up. Excellent.
Okay.
Here we go. Next one. Kaloi. Yeah. C-A-L-O-I, Kaloi. Now, is Kaloi a bike? Or is it something you smother your feet in?
Kaloi, I'm getting soothing foot balm from Kaloi. I'm going to say foot cream.
It's not. It's a Brazilian vintage bike brand. Rio or somewhere in Brazil, mate. Yeah, unfortunately. Oh. It does sound like a foot cream.
So what, my fourth three? Kaloi. I'm still up. It does sound like a foot cream, that one. I think I can almost see the box in my mind. I can't be.
Here we go. Right. Next one. This one could be tricky. This one I wasn't sure about myself. Here we go. Messinian.
Messinian.
M-E-S-S-I-N-I-A-N. A Messinian. Is it a bike?
Messinian.
What is it?
Messinian sounds possibly... Yeah, I'm going to say bike brand for that one.
It's not. It's a foot cream.
Is it not? It's a foot cream.
Messinian or Messinian. It's a foot cream, mate. Yeah, unfortunately, you put it on your feet, you wouldn't want to ride it. It's not going to get you very far.
Okay.
Here we go. So we've got two left. So one's a bike.
We've got two left.
And one's a foot cream. And
I've lost track of the score. We'll have to look back at this later. Right, good.
5-3. Potentially
5-3.
We'll have to look. 5-3. So it could all go right, or
it could still be a draw. Okay.
Here we go. Somec. S-O-M-E-C.
Somec. Absolutely marvelous. What a bike brand! I remember riding one of these runs around when I was, I nipped down to the shops on my Sonic. It's a bike brand.
It is a bike brand. It's from Italy. Hey! Well done, Skip. Well done.
Fantastic.
We've got one left, which I can't. It's
there you go.
Redundant, the last one, because you're kind of going to know. Because I did say I shouldn't have said it was five bike brands and five.
But then again, I've lost count of what was what, so it could be either.
Matter anyway, you know, it's all part of the game. Exactly. I'll give you the name of the last one, which I could have used, and kind of sort of let's just for the listeners, genuinely kind of say what you would have said if you didn't know what it was. So this is Onsen, O-N-S-E-N, Onsen.
Onsen. I am going to say is an American bike brand.
It's not. It's something you'd put on your tootsies.
So is it really? There you go. Okay.
A foot cream. So I'm just going to top up the ticks, mate. You got 1, 2, 3. Do you know what? I think you got 6 right and 4 wrong. Now, that's not bad. Yeah,
that's not bad. I'm over the moon with that. I thought that was going to go outrageously wrong. If any of the listeners have got, well, maybe the listeners have got Full House. I don't know. We've got quite intelligent listeners. They all know. they've got it with, and they've all of them have got very good feet, which is something else. So, following on from what we were talking about in the last podcast, and following on from what we may have been talking about before, all thoughts went to soothing our poor blistered feet. We were looking at, you were looking at a new old new bike last night.
Yeah, well, mate, we got, we kind of had that sort of vintage bug. I'm not quite sure where that came, but it was an itch that needed scratching.
That's back on the foot cream again. Stay away from that.
I think in our last pod, I was poised to bid. Well, I did bid for a bike, but I didn't get that one. That one kind of just sort of skyrocketed a bit, and it ended up out of my price range. So, I didn't despair. I carried on looking on what is the mecca of old stuff.
That great electronic bay. The thing is that they whatever it is that you're looking for, even if you don't get that one, chances are, hang about, another one will be around in just a little while.
I couldn't agree more. So anyway, after some to-ing and throwing and some kind of I remember messaging you. I'd almost bought another bike, and then the chap that was selling it, for some reason, after having agreed the price, then said, "Oh, I'm not sure if I want to sell it," which was kind of bizarre, seeing as he's the one who put it on eBay anyway. Anyway, I did a little bit more sort of communication with a chap who had a bike. Again, this could be a foot cream brand, mate. I'd never heard of this, or it could be a bike. So it's an Italian bike, and it's called a Fagin, and they actually still make bikes now. If you go on the website, they can kind of sort of custom build you something as well, I think, if they want. Anyway, this one was from 1982, that sort of date, and it's called a Campione del Mondo, which means a world champion. So that's the name of the bike. So the brand is Fagin. The actual model is a world champion, and I paid £650 for a bike from 1982. It arrived and it looked superb, mate. Absolutely brilliant. It's got the down tube shifters, so it's properly of that era. It is at the moment, as we speak, with my bike mechanic, just because I don't really know the history. I want to make sure everything is tightened and works, and the brakes were a bit wobbly, so they need adjusting. I've got a couple of wobbles in the wheels as well, so it could be that they're out of true, so they're going to need a little
tweak.
The shifting was superb. The there's nothing wrong with the down tube shifters. They absolutely snap in brilliantly. I'm going to put some fresh bar tape on it. I've gone you just can't help yourself. I've gone and bought some new decals that match, because you can buy this stuff. It's the market for old things, for old bikes, is unbelievable. So I've bought brand new decals to replace the existing ones, because some of them are a little bit scuffed. I mean, the bike is from 1982, and it does look like it's from 1982. I mean, it's not a wreck by any means, but some of the chrome's got some pitting, which I managed to clear a lot of it off. There's a few scrapes here and there. But basically, mate, I mean, it's light. It's full steel. Yeah. There's no carbon bits or space age kind of materials. No. It's all proper old school steel. But it's brilliant. The wheels, the tyres that came on it were 20C. I mean, literally the width of a 20-pence piece. So I'm going to go a bit wider. I'm going to go up to 23s. I'm going to get a set of tyres. That's 20.
I'll tell you what that is. That is my of tire width. Come on. I've never understood this, wider tires create the same drag as narrower tires. I've never understood it. It can't.
The maths apparently is there, but I'm with you. Surely.
I don't understand the maths.
If there's less stuff that hits the ground, then there's got to be less drag. Yeah. There's got to be less friction. Sure. But anyway, we're not going to do a mass lesson.
Imagine
we're
that.
Not going to do a mass
electric feel at 20 millimeter.
I think I'd fall over. But it also came with a kind of the saddle of the time, of the era. Mm-hmm. And also it had the pedals were the ones where you kind of put your feet in and then put the old leather strap across.
Right. Okay.
But,
yeah.
But I've taken them off, mate. I can't, I mean, I want to ride the bike.
That's so true. Exactly.
I'm not overly obsessed with, oh, it's got to look like what it did when during the 1980s. And I want to use the bike. It's not going to go in a glass case. It's not going to go up the wall and just hung from the wall for people to look at. I want to ride it. So it has to be comfortable. It has to be safe.
Comfortable and it's got to fit you right.
I need to be able to pedal properly.
Yeah.
So I've got this, I've got this Fagin Campione del Mondo bike, mate, and I can't wait to ride it. Brilliant. Can't wait to ride it.
Well, I've seen plenty of pictures and it looks spectacular. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's sort of renovations where people will sort of, you know, make sure that, you know, like the bar tapes of the era and the seat's got to be the era and all that. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're making it, you've got a bike there to ride. So you've got to make it rideable and make it comfortable for yourself.
That's exactly it, mate. That's exactly it. But you've done something similar.
I have done something similar. Which I blame you for entirely. I have, but I went off a bit of an obscure tangent because I too then started, because that's something as well that I've been kind of curious about for quite a while, is getting something sort of older. And I started looking at various things, and eBay has this kind of knack to it that if you've looked at something for a little while, it says, oh, do you remember when you were looking at these? Why don't you? I've got a couple of these now. You should take a look at them. And it's nabbed me like that before. And so I found myself looking at a bike, doesn't quite sort of date back to 1982. It dated back to about 2012. And it wasn't a road bike either. So, you know, I've completely gone, away from the script. But it's something that I was looking at for a little while. Now, what sort of popped up that fateful night on my eBay app was a Genesis Fortitude Adventure.
Wow.
Okay. Now this is it's a 29er, fully rigid mountain bike. Okay. So far, so weird. Okay, right? Fully rigid. But it gets weirder. Because it is fully equipped with a Shimano Alphine 11-speed hub gear. So
you showed me the picture.
No messing about.
It does look bizarre. There's no cassette. There's no cogs. How does this thing work?
No cassette. None of this messing around. Now, the bike in itself is beautifully left field old and weird, but that's great because I am also pretty left field old and weird myself, so we really match each other very nicely. I've done quite a lot, and this is the thing, the Shimano Alphine hub gears, I think they made a three speed, I think a five speed, a seven, and an 11. So this is the 11. It's got the most of those kind of 11s in there, most of the gears in there, sorry. And I've done lots of research because, of course, there's no cogs. There's one chain wheel at the front. There's one rear sprocket, and you have a chain that links those together. And you have a cable that goes down to the hub, and you flick the cable, and it pulls the lever, moves that, and, you know, kind of moves the gears inside. And I've done a lot of research into how these hub gears work, and so I think I've basically sort of got it. Basically, inside what you've got in that hub casing is that it sort of bolts together. But inside the casing, there's essentially magic. And you flick the lever, and then the magic inside happens. And the pedals, it gets then either easier to pedal or harder.
I have to agree, because I too had a little read into how these things work.
It makes no sense.
I can't work. Even in my head, I can't see how the chain can change the way. There's nothing.
Something inside. Nothing happens on the outside. Nothing happens.
Understand
it's just
how
something.
It can make your pedaling more difficult or easier, you know, like you would with a normal kind of gear yep. set where you change the gears and it jumps to a smaller cog or a bigger cog. I don't
you can know. Understand that. You can see it happening. Must be like little pixies exactly.
in that hub thing, kind of doing something that we don't know. And it's mad. Absolutely yeah. mental.
Don't know. I've done a lot of reading. Can't understand it. But it's taken a little bit of getting used to. I mean, yeah. So I've, of course, it's a bit of getting used to. I mean, of course, it just sort of shifts as like the same as everything else. What it does, first of all, because of course you've got no gears, no sprocket, no shifting chain or anything else like that. When you do change gear, it's silent.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you just move. The whole sort of thing is that the chain is always in line. So there's less wear on the chain because the chain is never at a funny angle. It's always square on. Because you're not flicking the chain from one sprocket to another, the chain can be a lot more heavy duty. So consequently, there's like less wear on the chain. The chain can take more stress anyway. So the kind of chain and things will sort of hang around a lot longer. Because when it comes to chains and wear and damage, I'm not great with that sort of stuff. Maybe that story will land in the next episode of the podcast. Brace yourself for that. But I'm kind of getting the hang of it. As well as that, when you ride it as well, it's absolutely silent. There's no, you know, there's no sort of sound at all. It's kind of like oddly silent.
I wonder
silent.
Why though, mate. Why didn't this take off? Because there's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that
there's
either.
Not more bikes or more brands that offer this in their kind of lineup of bikes.
Because I'm now sort of like, look, I mean, look, I can't have any more bikes. I can't. But I'm just sort of interested. So I end up sort of like kind of fun, sort of like perusing, again, just perusing eBay, just looking. That's all I'm doing, just looking. But also, you know, kind of Pinterest and stuff like that, just for different hub gear bikes and stuff. Because you sort of think, oh God, yeah, this makes total and complete and utter sense. When you're kind of commuting, I mean, I suppose, I don't know if it's a weight thing or whatever, or if you need a greater span of gears or whatever it might be, then yeah, fine. But if you're just kind of commuting and you have a bike for riding from one place to another and you don't want to be doing a lot of maintenance to it and you're going to ride it through all sorts of weather and all sorts of shale and junk and nasty stuff is going to attack your bike, it's blooming ideal.
Well, you're never going to pop a chain, are you?
No.
Because the chain never moves.
Unless something very major has gone wrong. But I'm getting the hang of it. It's I think I'm really sort of just kind of getting the hang of only having 11 gears and not 18 or 27 as I have on the other things. But I've essentially got, as well as that, there's quite, the best way I can describe it is, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a step between sort of 8th and 9th. So I think sort of something goes on in there, whether there's one set of bearings and another set of bearings, whatever it might be. But so you seem to have like 8 kind of basically sort of like off-road gears and then 3 big ones, if you know what I mean. 3 big ones that only really get used on the road. Although I have trespassed into 9th when going across like a dirt track across a farmer's field, and my kind of lolloping pedal stroke sort of mimicked the sort of lolloping hares that were jumping out of my way as I was doing it. But the best way I can describe it is that now my dad, when I was growing up, had an Austin Maxi 1275 GT,
wow.
Right? Quite a car. Now that had 5 gears, but according to my dad, it didn't have 5 gears. It had 4 gears and an overdrive. So, you know, essentially 5th was overdrive. It got used on the motorway and pretty much that alone. I've basically got 8 gears in there and 3 overdrives is what it feels like, because you sort of like kind of jump onto them. Yeah, just sort of getting the hang of it, really. But it's a nice thing. He's the guy before me. It's the frame itself is kind of completely steel. It's a Reynolds 725 steel frame. It's really minimal. The look of it,
lovely
is just
color
really
as well,
minimal.
Mate. I've seen the color. It's fantastic.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice green color. The handlebars were just flat, slightly too aggressive for my old, not very bendy frame. So I've had to put some slight, perhaps some bars on, which have got a slight rise to them. We've got a couple of chips and scratches and dings and stuff onto the frame, which is what you would expect because it's been used, but it's been looked after too. So, we've got the various bits and pieces that have been changed with good bits. So yeah, so all I've really done is invested in a nice new comfy seat that is a particular one that fits me and is very comfortable. And I have also invested in a new seat post because the seat post was 300 millimeters long, and it was kind of, I was just trespassing just over that little mark where it says maximum. Yeah.
You don't want that snapping on you.
I was maybe 10 millimeters of that was showing beyond there. So I thought, well, let's get a slightly longer one. And I'll tell you what, the one I've gone for is chrome. Oof. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? That got me thinking. When it came and I sort of unwrapped it, so it's like, look at that. It's like, why is not more? I was literally stepped back to owning a BMX kind of days. It's just like, look at this. It's like, why isn't there more stuff that's chrome? It's lovely. But anyway, yeah. So, Rigid 29er. So there, I think we just about have it. I think there's not really much else for either of us to say at this point in the podcast, apart from, of course, a massive thank you to you, the listener, for listening this far. We really are indebted to you. If you have liked what you hear, possibly drop us a little bit of a review somewhere. Only if you've got nice things to say. Possibly give us the old 5 stars and all that sort of thing. It's, we're just needy, and we need that sort of like positive reinforcement in our lives every now and again. It also helps apparently somewhere with algorithms and stuff. I don't know. I don't understand it. I also want to thank Mr. Bill Hooper and Tasha Fights Tigers for their remarkable music that they've done for us that we play to come in and go out each and every episode. And I want to say thank you to Enzo for being on his own podcast. I don't know why I'm thanking him.
I'm always here anyway. Buddy. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry.
You're always here. I'm going to thank myself. I'd like to thank my. But the dogs for being quiet the whole time, and I'd like to thank the rain for stopping halfway through this. So, thank you very much indeed, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye bye for now.
Bye bye. My line isn't wiggly. Is it wiggly on your side? Just riding.